Listening to just actually a little bit of nonsense. This is a bonus episode where we're going to be sharing the results of a challenge from episode 27 entitled "The Internet Isn't Perfect" or "How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Thanksgiving." Now, this challenge came to us from Mike. So, Mike, I'm going to throw it to you and you can recap exactly what you made us do. But first, Mike, what is your challenge brought to us by?
Thanks, Joe. So this challenge is brought to us by Skull's Butt Juice Vodka. Are you tired of shitty vodka that costs more than $3 a handle? Are you looking for something below the bottom shelf? Something that tastes like you stuck your entire mouth directly into a light socket covered in aspirin? Well, try Skull's new Butt Juice Vodka. You're mixing it anyway, am I right? I mean, sure, it'll completely ruin everything you put it into, on, or even near. It may actually explode. Do not handle Butt Juice Vodka near an open flame or electronics. Do not drink Butt Juice Vodka if you have concerns about the functionality of your liver, kidneys, intestines, or brain. Do not run with Butt Juice Vodka. Do not leave Butt Juice Vodka unattended in an airport, train station, or anywhere else at all. Butt Juice Vodka. Drink responsibly.
Sounds like you just have to stand near Butt Juice Vodka. That's pretty much all you can do with it, safely at least.
I mean, I'm nowhere near a bottle, and I feel like I'm getting a contact drunk.
Also, I don't think you can safely stand near it, now that I'm remembering
the
warnings.
It's under $3 a handle. I mean,
that's amazing.
Might be worth it. I mean, I think it's definitely worth it.
I'm willing to try some.
All right, Mike. Why don't you recap real quick the segment and challenge that you subjected us to?
Yeah. So I sprung this on you guys. I apologize again for doing this. How much work went into this, but so I, without telling you why, I tasked you to choose a side dish. I didn't even say it had to be your favorite, just a side dish. Sean, you chose macaroni and cheese.
Right.
Joe, you chose a sausage stuffing.
Yes.
And then you, I forget who it was, but one of you chose for me,
I think Joe,
green bean casserole.
Yeah, I believe I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so once we had each had a side, I then tasked us to spontaneously come up with a recipe for said side dish.
Yeah.
Live. Which we then did, and then I tasked us to prepare that side dish and actually bring it to Thanksgiving.
To subject other people to.
Exactly.
Subject other humans to whatever madness came to the top of our heads.
People who'd been slaving away all day on their own dishes.
Here, eat this random shit.
And, you know, it would have been great, and maybe this will turn out to be the case, but if one of these ended up being better than something somebody else brought to that Thanksgiving, like legitimately. But so I wanted to get some feedback from people at Thanksgiving. So that's what we're doing now. So we're
all right, Mike, you're going right now. So let's start with you. Let's start with you and your green bean casserole. Tell us about your Thanksgiving and how it went down.
That's right. So I had a lot. I had three Thanksgivings this year, so I had to choose which one to go to.
Damn,
that's too many, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's not nearly
it's too,
enough.
Too many.
That's way too many.
I had to choose which one to bring my green bean casserole to. So I ended up bringing it to my in-laws Thanksgiving.
Because you hate your in-laws.
I thought maybe I thought maybe they would be the most willing to give me like the kind of feedback I was looking for.
Because they're used to eating shit. Is that what you're saying?
And I hate to say it, guys, but I was like, I was totally wrong about that. I left a pad of paper with a pen, and I said, you know, I called it the pod casserole.
Yeah,
perfect. And I kind of explained the scenario to them, and I said, look, I created the recipe for this on the spot. Please leave me some feedback. And as it turns out, Joe, I think it was you that said beforehand that green bean casserole was like the easiest possible thing to make.
Maybe second only to macaroni and cheese.
I'm going to confirm that Joe is probably right about that.
Traditional green bean casserole has like four ingredients, so...
Yeah. And I guess I got most of them right because nobody really didn't like it. I was actively trying to get some negative feedback on it. And so most people were like, hey, man, this is pretty good. and Maria's dad, he said before he started eating it, he's like, all right, I'm going to give you my review after this bite. You have to understand he's Greek. He's very Greek. And he takes a bite. And he's like, I give you my review on a scale from 1 to 10. Badass.
What?
Yep, that's what he says. That's his greatest
on
compliment.
On a scale of
1 to 10,
your green bean casserole was badass.
It's the nicest thing he's ever said to you.
So basically,
or anyone else.
It is, for sure.
You are finally worthy of my daughter.
4 years later.
The last test was the green bean casserole.
I found out that it's really easy to make green bean casserole. I had never made it or even looked at a recipe before, and I got most of it right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so that's thank amazing. You for choosing that for me.
Well, if I knew you were going to have to make it, I would have chosen something harder.
Absolutely.
I have two questions, or one of them is sort of rhetorical, but one question I had was, I was telling my mom about this little challenge you gave us, and she said that if you were using condensed soups, that it was going to be really, really salty unless you offset it with something, which in your recipe, it didn't sound like you were. You know, mixing it with anything. No. So what was it? Salt? I mean, salty doesn't mean bad because everyone loves fucking salt. But
no, it was. I probably was not using condensed soups.
That was my question. Was if you did
because
that.
It wasn't too salty. It was actually pretty good. I made one mistake in making it. The display that I was picking the cans of cream of mushroom soup off of accidentally had a can of. At least one can of cream of chicken soup mixed in. So there was a can of cream of chicken soup in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
So wait, you didn't stick to the recipe?
Well,
it sounds like he cheated.
Oh, well, yeah, it sounds like you failed.
I'm going to have to talk to your father-in-law and get your badass revoked.
I didn't notice it until it was like way too late. It was a choice between using 3 cans of cream of mushroom or using 3 cans and then 1 can of cream of chicken, which I felt was closer to the recipe because the soupiness of it I thought was going to be the worst part.
Mm.
So it was a choice I had to make last minute, but
it still sounds like you cheated.
It wasn't my fault. Right, come on, who uses cream of chicken soup though?
Well,
is that
you,
a thing? Do
apparently,
people do that?
Apparently, it's really good.
Yeah, apparently you do to great success.
I used it also because I thought that nobody does that, so it must be bad, and that it would make it worse. But it just didn't work out that way.
Well, so. my second question, the more rhetorical one, which I don't know, maybe Joe, if you would entertain this thought, is that perhaps Mike and his lack of negative feedback has to do with a little bit of Captain America syndrome, where Mike is perhaps too nice to all these people who he's talking to. Whereas my family, even if I cooked like a really great dish, they would still find some reason to say that it's bad because we're all assholes and I'm an asshole. And so they feel they have fun ripping on me.
And before you answer that, Joe, there were three people there that I had never met in my entire life.
Well, they're not going to say anything bad about your meal, about your dish.
I asked them to. I literally asked them to say something bad.
They're not going to do that to a nice stranger.
I don't. I don't know. I mean, the results may be skewed. The ingredients are skewed. All of this is just topsy-turvy and crazy.
Everything else was on point.
We're moving on.
If this were a case, this would be a mistrial, I think.
We're not keeping score in this bonus, but I'm still gonna hit the bell.
Order.
And now, Sean, tell us about your dish and your Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was a great Thanksgiving. It was a lot of fun. Spent it with family, as is the case usually. The mac and cheese, I remember going into it that I was concerned mostly about whether or not it was going to be... I think I was concerned about the amount of noodles that was going into it, because two full boxes of penne noodles is a lot. And what I realized as I was cooking it, everything was looking great, okay? It was, as I was doing this, I was like, okay, I think that this is working, because I basically, when I was telling you guys the recipe on the spot, I was just doing like a chicken Alfredo recipe without the chicken, and then just a bunch of pasta and cheese. But as I'm doing it, the step where I realized I was going to have trouble was when I wanted to do, I believe it was a full half cup of breadcrumbs, which I found out was an insane amount of breadcrumbs.
Half cup is an insane amount of breadcrumbs?
Yes.
Four ounces of breadcrumbs,
Mike,
is too much?
Take a half a cup of breadcrumbs and throw them on your bed and see how much of a mess that makes.
This is what happened, okay? I took the scoop, the one-fourth, or the one-half cup scoop for the breadcrumbs, and I filled it to the brim. And then I took this delicious-looking macaroni and cheese that was still kind of bubbling because it had been in the oven for a few minutes, and I started sprinkling the breadcrumbs on top. And I went over the top of it in one full layer, right? And then I looked down, and I still had 2/3 of the cup of breadcrumbs. And I was like, oh no. So I kept sprinkling and sprinkling and sprinkling until there was just a desert of breadcrumbs on top of this amazing mac and cheese. And so I put it back in the oven. And, you know, in my instructions, in my recipe, I wanted you to put it in the oven until it had a golden brown sort of crust to it, right? But with that many breadcrumbs, what that meant was that in order to actually get a golden crust on the top of it, it was in there for way too long, which dried out everything.
Oh.
So, you know, when I pulled this thing out of the oven, it was already drier than I wanted it to be. And then we brought it over to my mom's house and popped it in her oven for, you know, 10 minutes or so to warm it up. But I think that...
Hopefully not at like 300 degrees.
It was probably 350, I think. She was cooking something else.
Jesus,
and I was
Christ.
Like, I'll pop this in here to warm it up.
Yeah, and any 350 degrees.
Any remaining moisture was completely evaporated. So I think that when I dug into it, I was like, boy, you know, if I had not had this in the oven for the last like 15 minutes it was in there, this would be pretty tasty. But as it was, I believe it was a little dry. So what I did was I put up a sign next to the mac and cheese, which I called the macashoni and cheese. And I put up a little sign that said, please give me, you know, feedback. And I put little slips of paper. And I have not looked at these slips of paper since they were written on.
I'm looking forward to this.
Perfect.
So I'm going to go through. I've got maybe 6 or 7 or 8 little slips of paper here. And the first one, and I don't know who wrote these either. So there was, you know, my family.
Oh, it's anonymous feedback.
Anonymous.
I should have done anonymous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so
for
from my family and my wife's family. This one.
No, I required that they registered their social security numbers and names. And That's so, probably why.
So the first one here, is not as insulting as I'd feared. This one says, only eat when fresh. So,
okay.
You know,
that's
not,
pretty insulting.
Not a ringing endorsement. What does this say here? The next one says, don't use whole wheat noodles. Use the unhealthy ones.
Wow, that, okay. That person's an idiot. Whoever that was, you're an idiot.
I don't know who that is.
There's no difference at all between the noodles.
The next one, this one's more, I think, abrasive. This one says, more cream, less sand. I think they might have been hitting on the amount of breadcrumbs that was on the dish.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah. Wait a minute. This next one, actually, they did put their name on it. This one, shout out to my mother-in-law's husband, Bob. Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob simply wrote, try again.
Wow, they hate you.
What is this one here? Okay, here we go.
I do not feel bad about yelling at Bob anymore at your engagement.
Oh my God. Great. Well, what's very humbling about this is that I really felt like after I was reading the recipe before I started cooking it, I was like, I think I knocked this out of the park. And like 90% of the way through the cooking process, I was like, this looks amazing. And then as soon as I put those breadcrumbs on and put it in the oven for another fucking 4 hours like an idiot. All right, this next one here.
You have to put something creamy. You have to put cream cheese or something Velveeta in there to keep it from being...
Oh, no.
Well, there was a lot of...
I wouldn't personally do Velveeta, but cream cheese is amazing in mac and cheese. Go on.
Now, hang on.
Oh, by the way, if you're listening to this and want to know what they look like, pictures of all three dishes are up on social media and littlenonsense.com.
Now this next slip of paper needs a little bit of a setup. So I do remember explaining when I remember having the conversation. I was going to take this over to my mom's and I was worried about it getting cold. And my wife said that we will just pop it into my mom's oven and it'll be fine. And so when we get there, we, you know, popped it into the oven. And so I was jokingly blaming it on my wife for her suggestion to pop it in the oven to heat it up, that's why it was overcooked. So this next slip of paper says, sounds like it was great until your wife fucked it up. That might have actually been from my wife. It looks like her handwriting, actually. She just shouted from the other room, yes. So that was my wife.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that makes it way less funny, so we'll edit that out. We'll take that bit out.
We will remove those laughs in post.
All right. I've got two more here. This next one says, next time try Kraft. So.
Wow, when somebody prefers Kraft to your homemade baked macaroni and cheese,
No, I'm sorry. Kraft is delicious because it's all fucking like horrible for you, like chemicals
It is
bright
delicious,
orange, you know.
But if they prefer it to your homemade baked macaroni and cheese...
They didn't like my Sahara and cheese. All right, last one here. Last one says, very flavorable, but dry.
Flavorable.
Flavorable.
Very flavorable, but
dry. It is able to be flavored.
Let's not dwell on that.
No, there's an opportunity
word.
For your...
I mean, I know what the episode title is now.
The point
clearly
is
there's
that
an
they
opportunity
enjoyed
for your
the
mac
flavor.
And cheese to have flavor. Yeah,
No. They enjoyed the flavor.
No,
we,
what it
we
means,
ended on a
though,
high
is what it means is that your macaroni and cheese could possibly be flavor.
I don't think that was okay. The intention of the author.
Really?
All right, it's my turn.
What?
So, what? I didn't do anything on Thanksgiving. Well, that's not true. I ordered Chinese food because they were open. But all of my family lives in other states, so I didn't go anywhere. And I had to work the next day, so I didn't really feel like doing anything. But I still had to fulfill this challenge. And you know who doesn't live in a different state than me? Mike.
That's right.
Mike lives in the same state I do, and he made us make these dishes, so I thought it was only fair that he had to...
That's right.
That he had to taste what he made me make. So I drove out to Mike's house on the Sunday evening after Thanksgiving.
While we were watching, I believe it was Into the Badlands.
Perfect show to interrupt. And I got there about 8:15 p.m. I wanted to make sure it was disruptive.
Thank goodness, by the way, that they weren't like in the middle of a huge argument or like having an orgy or something. Like, that could have been a horror, like to show up unannounced.
That would have been preferred for Joe, actually.
Well, I mean, it would have been great audio.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of which, I had my digital recorder with me, so let's go to the tape. All right, here we go. On three. One, two, three.
I'm walking up to the door. Approaching the doorbell. Gotta make sure to ring it as annoyingly as possible.
It's too bad my doorbell doesn't work. I'm sorry, Joe.
Yeah,
I've hit the bell many times in succession. Let's see if anyone answers.
Yeah, it's dead.
I think the bell is broken. They couldn't hear me. So now I've knocked. What a development. They're here.
They're answering the door together.
Yes.
Hi, Joe Moracle with the A Little Nonsense podcast. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
I thought it only fair since you forced us to make these dishes that you have to eat it.
But it's only fair, I suppose.
Damn right.
Freezing your ass up. Get in here. Is that an actual microphone you're holding there?
Yes, it is.
And it's actually recording right now?
Every word.
Hi there. It's warm.
I took it out of the oven 45 minutes ago. Amazing. I thought, you know...
How is it still warm?
A little bit.
It was.
When someone's settling down...
I had it wrapped in a blanket
Sunday
in the
evening,
car.
Thinking about bed. What they really need is their crazy friend to show up and force them to eat food.
I can't possibly eat this right now.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe I'll have a couple of bites for the sake of the podcast.
Damn right you
will. I was very full. I was really full.
So what do we got here, Joe?
This is the, I'm calling it stuffing surprise. I made stuffing. Surprise!
Ooh, this looks good. Just get a whiff of that.
Mmm. That shit's fresh.
Fragrant. Sausagey.
Straight from my blanket.
You know what would be really great is if we had some gravy to put on top of this right now.
I mean, you want to change it before you've even tasted it? That's just rude.
Let's taste it first.
He's digging
in. Gotta hire a fourth person for the podcast.
Could you recount some of the ingredients for me while I make room for this?
Yeah. There is about a half pound of sourdough bread. It is Jimmy Dean's hot sausage. There's chicken broth, parsley,
quality.
Black pepper. He's taking the first bite.
Mmm. Oh, yeah. That sounds so good.
That's pretty fucking
it
good.
It should have been.
Is it?
Yeah, no, that's really good. It's a little salty.
It
yeah,
really well, was, actually.
It's good. It's a good thing.
Would you say it's too salty?
I would say it's close to a little bit too salty.
Yeah. Oh, the sausage stuffing is too salty.
But it's quite good. I don't know if I could eat, like... all of it in one sitting.
That's okay, I'll wait.
I'm not expecting that. It's a little bit too salty.
Nowhere to be.
It's a little bit too salty.
But honestly, it is very tasty. Have you tried any of this?
No.
Would you like to?
I pulled it out of the oven and immediately got in the car.
Would you like to try some of it?
Sure.
Please. I can't believe that this is happening right now.
This is awesome.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's much too salty. My God. It really was. It tasted like salt. Wow.
I'm still eating it, though.
I probably would have liked it.
Actually, that bite wasn't as salt.
I'm going to provide some feedback later.
So it's good as long as you only eat the bread. I'll take it.
I actually think that it is excellent. It would have been perfect if you had used about 75% less salt.
75% less salt. Yes, I tasted it myself. I absolutely agree with you. So on a scale of 1 to 69, what do you rate Stuffing Surprise?
I would say that given all of its positive qualities,
I should have said that.
With the only problem with it being the salt level.
Yes, the excessive salt level.
The flavors are great.
Except the salt flavor.
The ingredients are excellent.
Except the salt.
I'm going to go with a 47.
47 out of 69.
Not too bad.
I'll take it.
That's not bad.
I will take it.
That's not bad.
Fantastic.
It's like a 75,
well,
right?
You'll notice that this is a disposable dish, and I'm not taking it with me, so do with it whatever the fuck you want.
All right, well...
This is Joe for A Little Nonsense signing off.
Honestly, I stand by that rating to this day.
Really?
Yes, I do.
I think it was kind.
No.
Would you not give it a 48 out of 69, Mike?
Maybe now I would.
You know why? Because a 48 out of 69 is a 69%.
Should have. Well, maybe that I was channeling that, I guess, but
you're so close.
You were so close.
Joe, I'm not ashamed to admit, I have eaten all of it.
Really?
Oh, wow.
You ate that whole dish?
I did. I only could eat like two or three bites at a time, but...
Because you started to dry out from all the salt.
Yeah, but at this point now, I have eaten all of it because it was actually pretty good.
I'm glad it didn't go to waste. That's great.
Yeah.
My mac and cheese went to waste, I'll tell you that.
It was very salty, but... As extra flavor goes, salt is not always bad.
There are worse flavors.
We tried to revive my mac and cheese. Then the next day, I took a bunch of heavy creamer and just dumped it all over the top and mixed it up and threw it back in the oven.
That may have worked.
It was serviceable, but it was like I was like day old noodles at that point, and we got maybe half of it eaten, and then we went ahead and cut our losses.
So you spent like $75 on garbage mac and cheese.
6 pounds of Gouda.
Should have been. No,
the Gouda was delicious, though. That was a great idea. The addition of the Gouda was where I went right. You know, I just say if I had to do it again, you know, maybe just like a teaspoon of breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gouda doesn't.
Maybe 70% less sand.
Yeah. Exactly. You're 75% less salt, and I'm 75% less sand.
All right. Well,
I'm really disappointed
you know,
in myself that I went with 47 instead of 48.
I know.
I'm so close. I'm so sad about that right now. Imagine if I had nailed 69% of 69 just on the spot. That would have been great.
Yeah. I mean, it is 0.68, but it's 0.6811, whereas 48 out of 69 is 0.695. That's a solid 69, you know.
695 rounds up to 70, though.
If you're rounding up, I suppose.
I was close.
I wasn't rounding up. Just looking at those first...
You always round... Five up. It's just a math thing.
Yeah. Learn math.
Learn math. Wait,
wait, you don't always round five. If someone says I'm 25 years old, you're not like, fuck you, you're 30.
No. When it comes to a decimal.
Five is an integer, you dumbass.
When it comes to a decimal,
you don't round an integer.
You round five up. You do.
I don't. Learn math.
Happy belated Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Mike, do your turkey.
Oh,
A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mailhole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here and there is often very necessary. Mingle a little folly with your wisdom and you could be jolly. A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men.